Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for attending. Welcome to this session called Monitoring the Microsoft Private Cloud Fabric with SystemCenter 2012 R2 Operations Manager. For those of you who I didn't see yesterday, by the accent you probably already heard, I'm not from New Zealand, I'm no Kiwi. The good news is I'm also not an Aussie. I'm from Europe. I'm from Holland, the Netherlands, Amsterdam. It's a privilege to be here and to be able to talk to you about Operations Manager. I actually had done this session at TechEd in America, in Houston, in May. So for this for me is a repeat. My name is Maarten Goed. I'm an 8-year Microsoft MVP. I started out as a MOM MVP, then a System Center Operations Manager MVP, and today Cloud and Data Center MVP. And if you want to follow me, see updates or news on System Center, this is my Twitter handle here on the screen. So again, thank you for attending. The agenda today is System Center Operations Manager specific to Fabric. And there's so much more Operations Manager can do, but we just don't have the time to go into all these areas. So I'll stick to virtualization monitoring. We'll look at network monitoring, deep dive into storage monitoring. And we'll also look at dashboards, and we'll close off with capacity management. So a lot of ground to cover. And then if you have any questions at the end, I'll be here. Or if we run early, we can do some questions on stage as well. So who's using Operations Manager today? Oh, that's pretty much half of the crowd. Who's running 2012? R2? Okay. Hopefully I can tell you something new then, because it seems like you guys have a good setup of Operations Manager already. For those who haven't Operations Manager running, there's certainly going to be some new content in there. So let's establish a ground first on what Operations Manager is all about. So when System Center Operations Manager was reset, rebuilt, redeveloped, however you want to call it, in 2007, actually, Microsoft had a new vision on how to do monitoring. Before, with 2000 and 2005, it was all about infrastructure monitoring or element monitoring or component monitoring, and you'd look at all these separate pieces. But with System Center, we're looking at services. The thing we're trying to achieve is that we can monitor your service, your application as a whole, and all the components it exists of, but also look at, for instance, how the user is using the application and whether or not we have a functional working of the application. So with 2012 and certainly with R2, we have service-oriented monitoring. We can still do the infrastructure monitoring, which we'll talk about and demo today, all the elements, all the fabric elements. We can, of course, do application monitoring. We'll not talk about that today, but all the Microsoft apps, but also the non-Microsoft apps. There's a whole world of cross-platform monitoring we can do with System Center. And if you want to see those, I have presentations on Channel 9 I did about cross-platform. And then the last mile is, of course, the end-user experience, the synthetic transactions, where we simulate what the user does or what the app does and try and establish the status for functional working of the app. So these are the things we bring together in Operations Manager, and we present that to you in a dashboard style. So we want for you to consume it in two ways. Of course, the alerts and the views you get with an OM, but also the dashboards, which you can then put on the wall or have at a glance view, a total view of the app. Now, the few things I want to highlight with Operations Manager that are different or unique to our monitoring approach, like I said, the synthetic transactions. So we can have all these infrastructure elements and their status, but we can also see how an app is performing and if the user can still reach it in a timely fashion without any errors. We have DevOps integration in a sense that we tie into TFS. So if you do development in-house, you have TFS, and maybe an app that's been published gives you some errors, you can tie it back all the way into TFS and let your developer know what the status is, and he can actually look in the console as well. We have APM monitoring, application performance monitoring, so we can actually assess the status of the app through status messages, through certain performance metrics. We have the dashboard framework, and perhaps more importantly, we have management packs. It's been around since MOM 2000, where you download a file or you have a file on your installation media that contains all the logic on how to find your apps and your elements, what to monitor, when it's a bad state, when it's a good state, things like reports, views. It's a bundle of knowledge, if you will, and Microsoft provides these management packs for all their products. And there's certainly a whole world outside of Microsoft that also provides management packs, sometimes for free, sometimes you need to pay for them to get some more monitoring logic into OM. And then there's cloud monitoring, in essence, where we can hook up Office 365, Windows Azure, and all these cloud services to also assess the state of these cloud services. So we have one big picture of both the things we're running on-premises as well in the cloud. So Operations Manager is a monitoring product that provides you with this service-oriented 360 degrees view of your environment. Now, the first thing I want to dive into is network monitoring. It's one of those things that it's least used, I guess, by Operations Manager. Normally, you get into talks with the network admins who say, well, I've got Cisco Works, I've got this, I've got that, so I don't want you to plug into my devices. Our story here is we don't want to replace these configuration or management tools. We want to have a view into the monitoring, into the status of these devices, so we can have this bigger picture. When an application is failing, we can drill down all the way to the network layer and see whether or not the network is the problem or there's something else that's causing these problems. Who's using network monitoring in OM today? One person, good. So you can validate what I'm saying. The features. So it's one of those things that Microsoft hasn't been built themselves. We licensed it from EMC Smarts. And so EMC has a smarts app that does a lot of the network and storage area network monitoring, and we license that engine and that knowledge about all these network devices, and we brought that into System Center 2012, and I'm going to talk to you about what's new in R2 as well. So we can find these devices, we do discovery, we can then monitor the devices we found, and we get dashboards and reports on top of them to show you the status of these devices. Now, the cool thing is we also get these server-to-network dashboards. Because we also have the information about our virtual or physical servers, we can tie this information together and give you a all-up view of your network plus servers. I'll show that later. We have a lot of vendors we support. Again, because it's from EMC Smarts, there's a big knowledge base already. And I'll show you in a second how to extend the monitoring if it's not available in the box. And we support all the major protocols, of course. So SNMP v1 for some of these devices in your data center that do like smoke detection, humidity support, whatever still talks v1. SNMP v2 and, of course, v3, most enterprises adopting that secure layer. And then we can do that both on top of IPv4 or on top of IPv6. It is dependent on your OM infrastructure running on IPv6 if you want to monitor devices over IPv6, of course. The devices we support are these. It's certainly not limited to these, but these are the major groups, I guess. Bridges, load balancers, switches, hosts, firewalls, routers, hubs, and virtual devices. And virtual devices being things like you have in Hyper-V, virtual switches, virtual network cards. We would call them virtual devices. And hosts being things like Hyper-V hosts, but also VMware hosts. And I'll show that in a demo in a second. So there's a couple of things we do. And the first is discovering devices. And how do we do discovery? What is discovered? So we discover the connectivity. So we go out to talk to a certain device, we find the server to switch, the switch to switch connectivity, etc. We find things like VLAN membership. We find things like the Cisco HSRP groups, the high availability groups if you're running Cisco hardware. And we can do things like stitching of switch ports to network cards, so we can get an understanding of what switch port is connected to what network card. And of course, the key components of a device like ports, interfaces, processors, memory. Of course, that's all dependent on the knowledge base we have in the product, so it needs to be a major device, if you will. And secondly, the device should expose it. Not all devices expose this information, but certainly the major brands will. Now, how would we go and find these devices? There's two ways. The first way is where we know our infrastructure. We have a list of devices. We know the IP addresses or the names, maybe the read strings for SNMP. So we have an understanding of our infrastructure, and we'll use the explicit discovery and just input a list of sorts and run the discovery. That's foolproof, 100% guaranteed. We'll find every component. Now, if the infrastructure is a little unknown or you want it to be more dynamic, if you're adding infrastructure or removing infrastructure, you could try and use the recursive discovery. And what we do is we ask for a seed device, so maybe a core switch or something that's strategic in your network that can likely reach other components from there. We ask the information of this seed device, and we actually go out and ask for things like the ARP table and the neighboring switches and all these things, so we can start to plot device topology, and then from the second device we can hopefully find the third device and onwards. So we'll look at the ARP tables, IP tables, etc., to try and find all these devices. Of course, if there's a device that's not been communicated for weeks or whatever, and it's not in these tables, we will likely not find it. So it's not foolproof. You need to make sure you're really finding your whole network. Now, the stages are three. The first stage is we'll do initial probing. Second stage would be we would do the processing of what we found. And then the third is the post-processing, where we do all these stitch-ups, etc. So have a look at these stages. The first stage is initial probing, where we send the ICMP and or SNMP request. We try and find the device, see if we can really talk to it, whether or not we can reach it. The processing part is where we get the components, do things like the memberships. The topology is initially created after this in OM. You see your first device statuses. And then post-processing means that within minutes after this, your management server of OM will start to process and see, hey, this switch is actually connected to this server. I know about this server. I'll draw you a line. I'll bring you some dashboards, etc. That's probably within 5 minutes of processing. Now, the ICMP ping or SNMP get works as follows. We'll try SNMP v2 by default. You could certainly already override and say, I want to use SNMP v3 in your wizard. We'll first try and ping it, see if we can actually reach the device. And secondly, we'll do the SNMP get. If no response, the device is being added to the pending list and you need to fix it up. For instance, by overriding a setting saying, I've disabled ICMP ping replies and I only want to do the SNMP get. That's certainly an option as well. And secondly, we'll actually try SNMP v1 if v2 fails. So these are the things to consider when doing the discovery. If you get a device into pending, check for these kinds of things. It might be a cause of the problem. So we'll get all this basic information. It's under this SNMP OID. We get things like the name, the description, the contact, the location, basic stuff for us to populate in OM. And this is an example, for instance, for a Cisco switch. We get some information on the version running, the location, if it's been configured on the device, etc., etc. Now, I've said that we've licensed EMC Smarts. Within the management server infrastructure of OM, we have the information to go about discover and assess. That's actually configured under files, under a file structure in your operations manager directory. It's called server network monitoring /conf. It's unsupported to edit those files. They are plain text files. It's also unsupported to add files to that file folder structure. But I can tell you it definitely works if you do so, but it's unsupported from a Microsoft support standpoint. We'll talk about how to add those devices later. We'll get details, device type, what discovery probes to use, and the level of certification. So if we know about the device, for instance, the Cisco 4506 we just saw, we'll put it in certified. If it's an unknown device to us, but we can still reach it and we can still add it, it'll go up in generic, and we just won't have the same level of depth. But through authoring, you can add some of these checks for those devices. We create layer 2 and 3 connectivity, as we said. We do the port stitching. We find out these IP and MAC information. We have the other information of your virtual servers and your physical servers already in OM. So we stitch that up and give you a dashboard. We'll remove the MAC access points that do not belong to the devices in the topology. Maybe create some network connections to represent WAN, if it's a WAN port, and the connection based on the discovery protocol. So this post-processing goes on a couple of minutes after the discovery on the management server, and you'll see all these dashboards actually pop up. Now, it's quite hard to see why a certain device is not discovering or where the management server is in the process. So what I want you to take away from this slide is there is a few in OM called the network discovery progress events, and these are the events for reference that you can take home later to see whether or not it's actually doing something, probing a device, if it's in the discovery phase, maybe doing some post-processing, so you understand whether or not it's actually talking to your switches and if it's discovering the switches or routers, etc. So then we discover the devices. They're in OM. Next stop is we need to monitor them. We need to monitor certain elements and certain aspects of those devices. Now, who knows about the resource pools in Operations Manager? Okay, so maybe a quick half a minute intro on resource pools. Resource pools is where we group management servers, and we allow these management servers to work together to, for instance, distribute load in monitoring, to be highly available if one goes down, other management server will take over these tasks. So resource pools is a new feature in OM 2012 and of course in R2, where we can group multiple management servers and let them do a certain specific task. And you can create specific resource pools for specific tasks, for instance, for network monitoring. So we support resource pools for high availability monitoring. And if you look at the console, we have a class called system.networkmanagement.node, and we'll show that in a demo, that actually shows you a network device in Operations Manager. Now, one of the things to understand is that certain monitoring will be disabled or enabled by default, depending on the state of the port. So let's say I'm discovering a 24-port switch, and maybe 12 out of 24 are really connected. The others are administrative down, or maybe there's just not a cable connected and plugged in. So for these ports that are not enabled, that are disconnected, we will not enable monitoring by default because it'll give you false alerts. Now for the ones that are connected, we will. And again, with everything in OM, we can use overrides to override that setting if you want to. And we can actually, in the wizard setup, to come back for discovery maybe once a night or maybe a couple of hours from now to rediscover the device. And if a port is then maybe enabled or connected, we will actually switch on monitoring for you so that we don't lose any monitoring information. So some monitoring will be enabled by default, some won't. Now, the things we get for all devices, you'll see a block on the right top. For all devices, whatever, if it's certified, supported, unsupported, these are the things we will do by default. So we'll ping the device for you, we will do SNMP gets and check if both are successful, and we'll have a couple of rules where maybe the response time is too high, maybe a certain trap is received if you've set up SNMP traps to OM. So these are the rules you get by default. And in the table, I'm showing you whether or not they're enabled or default, disabled by default. Now, for certified devices, we have this EMC knowledge base under the hood, where we know what ports, what certain elements are in these devices. We can monitor ports and interfaces for things like up-down. We can check for the traffic volume, percentage utilization, all these kinds of things, processor utilization, and of course, memory, free memory, and Cisco allows us to grab some more info on the memory counters in use for this device. We'll look at connection health on both ends of the connection, both the server side and the port side. We'll look at VLAN health, and of course, the Cisco HSRP high availability groups, whether or not the majority of the nodes in the group are still healthy. These are the rules and monitors we get for the certified devices. So things for Cisco, and there's just an example, free memory, memory pool fragmentation, processor utilization, largest free buffer percentage, memory pool, free memory, processor utilization, et cetera, et cetera. There's actually a list on the Microsoft website that gives you a list of supported devices, and it also gives you a list of all the monitors and rules for these devices. And at the end of the deck, I have a link to that, and you can download that and look at that later on. If you want to have a look at underlying information on how are we assessing this state, how are we getting free memory statistics, etc., if you look at the properties of the monitor associated in OM, you can actually see the SNMP OID we're querying to get a status and for what status we're looking to see whether it's or healthy or bad. So network monitoring was introduced in 2012 first. New devices were added in SP1. With every service pack, we add new devices and new device monitoring logic. With update rollups, we don't. So with SP1, we did. And now with R2, we also did. So there's a wealth of new network devices. We now support things like the Cisco Nexus, et cetera. Virtual network monitoring support, I'll show you that in a demo, where we actually talk to VMM to get information on the virtual infrastructure, on the virtual switch, on the virtual ports. And we have a couple of new dashboards to go with that and show you some network virtual vicinity and the virtual node dashboard. Now, as far as the demo, I have some good news, some bad news. The good news is we're going to see a demo. The bad news is I won't be clicking because it's pre-recorded. Actually, the connection back into Amsterdam is too slow from here, so I've switched to the video so we can at least see the demo. So I'm sorry about that. So this is my infrastructure back in Amsterdam. I have System Center running. I have some Hyper-V hosts, some network devices, and this is Virtual Machine Manager. And the first thing I did in Virtual Machine Manager is I've set up the connection between VMM and Operations Manager. And you can see the status is okay. I've connected. I've enabled all these settings like Pro, the maintenance mode integration, and all these management packs have been pushed into OM so we can get some information from VMM on the network infrastructure, the virtual infrastructure, I'm sorry. Now to show you that the connection is really working and to get the latest information between VMM and OM, I'm running a PowerShell commandlet called write SC Ops Manager connection. It forcefully writes information from VMM to OM. It just gives you a quick update. After this, every minute, the connector will push information from VMM to OM. So as you can see, it fully works. Connection is there. I have the latest update now in OM, so I'm pretty sure I can show you the OM information. So I've installed OM 2012, R2, a couple of management packs, a couple of agents, some network devices, and as we saw, the VMM connection. And with that, we get the VMM view folder. And it has a couple of dashboards out of the box, things like application health, cloud health, host health. And if you look at the host, there's six hosts I'm running. Four of them are green, one is yellow, and one is red. If you look at the properties for ST2 host, the host memory utilization is above 80, and that's why it's giving us a warning. And if we go on the right-hand side, we see context-sensitive tasks. So for instance, we can run the network virtual vicinity dashboard for this Hyper-V host. So it selects the second host. It gives us the vicinity view. We see the host status, and we see the virtual switch. I've configured one within this Hyper-V host. Now, if we select this virtual switch, we can drill one level deeper, have a look from the switch, virtual switch perspective. We can see the vicinity view, which will show us a spider web of virtual machines. We can have a look at the instance details for this virtual switch, and below we'll also see some virtual ports and interfaces. So we can zoom in, I'm sorry, we can see the virtual machines and the connection back into the virtual switch. So these are some of these new dashboards we get out of the box. The virtual network interfaces with some of the key metrics like bytes sent, bytes received. And so this is, at a glance, I guess, all of dashboard for this virtual switch. And if you want to have performance metrics on a single interface on a certain VM, we can drill down from here and show you things like byte received, byte sent, etc. So this is good. So we'll close these windows. We'll close the VMM, and we'll go into administration. And I'll show you the network management node. And you see I've configured two rules, discovery items, if you will, for discovering the switches and the devices in my environment. I'll open up the HP switches rule because I have two HP switches in my environment. I selected one management server. I could select a resource pool, of course, but I'm selecting the management server. And we can also create a pool from here if you want to create a specific pool for DMZ or other network items. We'll cancel out of that. Go into next. And here's where we have the explicit discovery. We need to input a list of all the devices, names, SNMP read things, strings, or we can do the recursive discovery where we take one device and try and find other devices from here. In any case, we need to set up the SNMP read strings because even if we're going to do recursive discovery and reach out, we still need to try one or more SNMP read strings. You can be very granular in providing these, but we need to provide them once. And they're stored as run as accounts in OM, so it's encrypted into the OM database. Here are my two devices. Because I'm using explicit discovery, I've just added them through IP addresses. I'm doing SNMP discovery, so I've disabled ICMP pings. So I say SNMP only, and version 2, version 1, or version 3. The runner is account, and that's the basic configuration we need to do. Maybe some timeouts if it's a high latency network. And then the next step would be to look at the discovery schedule. In this case, I say run the schedule once a day, 2 a.m., only on Saturdays, and we'll find the devices in the weekend. Now, if ports go up or down throughout the week, we won't notice, so it's probably best practice to run the schedule more often. But your network guys will probably also have a say in that. So we found them. Here's the list of network devices. There's two HPs, and if we go into the monitoring pane, we can have a look at what OM shows us by default there. Since 2012, we have a folder called Network Monitoring and a state view called Network Devices, and you'll see HP Switch 1, HP Switch 2. All the basic information we found through SNMP, so the location, the contact, etc., and we can drill from here into specifics. So if you open up the diagram view, it says I have a couple of underlying objects you want to show them. And so we see things like ports, memory, processor. And then these ports are enabled. That's why we actually see them as monitored in OM. And you'll have a couple of ports that just don't have cables in them or are administrative down. So that's why it's unmonitored, not monitored here in OM. And on the right-hand side, you see tasks where I can actually enable or disable the monitoring if I want to forcefully override. If I click on the switch and go into the Health Explorer, you'll see the monitors for this device, things like the SNMP ping. If I take another object, like a specific port of this switch, I look at the Health Explorer, you'll see that it has specific monitors for this port. So things like interfaces flapping, interface status, performance, high error percentage, etc. So these are the things you get out of the box by just adding the device, us doing the discovery, the processing, the post-processing, and we'll throw you a couple of dashboards on this. And then like you saw on the virtual ports, we of course get some metrics, some more metrics, things like outbound bits. And you can see we collect those. Again, this is just the console. Through reporting, we can do longer periods of time, but in the console, you see 7 days by default. Now, there are prefab dashboards like the network node dashboard. We just saw that for the virtual switch. If we take a physical switch, we'll also get a vicinity view. In this case, the vicinity of this switch is the other switch we've interconnected. And if we then, for instance, look at the properties of the line, so the cable that's connecting the two switches, we actually see that port 21 in the first switch and port 21 in the second switch are connected. We found that out through the Cisco Discovery Protocol. Some ports, in this case, 5 ports are connected and sending data. It is a lab, so nothing fancy going on at the moment. And from here, we can step into reporting. If 7 days of data is not enough, we can take the reporting engine and add our object to get some more and longer information. And we can type things like interface or port, depending on whatever the vendor has used. We'll take port 21, which is the interconnect between the two switches. And then we'll hit OK. And for those who know OM reporting, this is just basic OM reporting. We can select the days, run the report, and we get some interface traffic volume for this port. So not too much, 300 bits per second or 3,000 bits per second. And like anything, we can export this and maybe run it in Excel, run queries against it, whatever you need it for. So this is just basic network monitoring we get out of the box. Next up is the logical question we always get after seeing this. Do I need licenses for network monitoring? Yes and no. It really depends on the device. So if it's just a layer 1, 2, 3 switch, router, anything from that type, you don't need a licensing, an ML, so a licensing option. If it's a more intelligent device, so let's say I have some examples here, firewall, load balancers, etc., that have some kind of like OS or some intelligence on top of them, you are very likely to need a license for System Center for that device. Now, I'm no guru, I'm not a Microsoft sales rep, but this is what I found out in the field working with customers and how they are charged by Microsoft for this solution. So most of the stuff will be within your System Center data center license anyway. Okay. So we've covered network monitoring, and we'll look at dashboards more in depth in a second. But first, I want to look at storage monitoring. And storage monitoring is one of the things that we haven't really got in the box, but we do for just a bit. So we need to figure out what do we have, what don't we have, and what options could we use to get the storage information into OM. Well, the first piece would be to examine the integration with VMM. We have it set up anyway for your virtual switches, etc. If you have your storage configured and attached in VMM, we will relay that information as well. So if VMM is your way to talk to storage, you're fine, you'll get that information in OM. If not, you need to have a look at storage management packs. And there's a lot of vendors that support storage management packs and have them. For instance, HP, NetApp, all the big vendors should have them. But some vendors might not, so you'll need to have a look. Again, the VMM integration is based on the connector, so VMM pushes the information into OM every 60 seconds. We get understanding from VMM. So if VMM in 2012, I think it started with SP1, we see things like thin provisioning. We have an understanding of your SCSI, iSCSI targets, etc. We get that information, of course, into OM. And there are some dashboards we get on reports like capacity exhaustion of VMs, etc. Now, the storage management packs, like I said, HP, IBM, Dell, NetApp will have them. There are third parties like OpsLogix that will have for specific vendors. You can author your own, of course, if you're really savvy on OM. And the other things to consider is adding some of the management packs Microsoft provides, so the file server management pack, the iSCSI something management pack. There's a couple of management packs associated around storage that you might want to add to get a full view of all the elements in your environment. So let's have a look at storage monitoring. So same environment, we'll go back into VMM, but in this case, we're in the fabric work space. And you see that we have a storage node, and it has the providers. So our, in my case, iSCSI providers. We're talking to a couple of providers to get storage information. Through those providers, we found storage arrays. I'm running a NetApp simulator in my lab that actually has a couple of LUNs. So in this case, it says NetApp, and the model is simulator. And then we'll have pools that correspond with the LUNs we've created and associated in VMM of certain sizes, of certain classifications. I've named them bronze, silver, and gold storage, and they are available in VMM. So the next stop would be is that VMM would push this information every 60 seconds into OM. And as you can see on the right-hand side, there's a column provisioning type that says my pools are fixed. And because we can also use SMB3 for Hyper-V, I've added a couple of file shares for SMB3 that also get pushed in OM. So let's get back to the OM console. And we'll go into Virtual Machine Manager folder again. This is where you get the views we just saw, but then we'll focus on the storage pool health. And here you'll see the four pools I've defined, aggregate 0, 1, and 2. And if I open up one of those pools in a diagram view, we get some basic information on the display name, the capacity total, the capacity used. And in this case, it's actually in warning. So if we open up the Health Explorer, you'll see that the storage pool capacity is in warning. And that is because we are under a certain availability. The warning threshold is 85, and we are currently at 89% usage, and this is why it's showing us as a warning. And from here, we can open up the performance view like you would normally do on other objects and get a trend, for instance, on used capacity or total capacity and see whether or not it's climbing quickly or that it's just growing steadily. So that's some information we get from VMM. So what I want to do is I want to log into my simulated NetApp environment. Here's an alert associated with that storage pool capacity. And we can, of course, acknowledge that event. But like I said, I have the NetApp simulator running. And what I want to do is show you how to monitor that and also monitor some of the file services on top of that. So I've added the file and iSCSI service management pack. You see the iSCSI targets, see if they're healthy, responding, the Windows service is running. And we can have a look at things like SMB status, NFS status, and run the Health Explorer for those. So iSCSI is all healthy. It looks at the Windows service. We can start, stop, query, and get some information from OM. And then if you look at the Windows Server Management Pack, if you want to have basic information, of course, about your disks, your volumes, things like cluster shared volumes for CSVs used in Hyper-V, you'd need to import the Windows Server Management Pack to get those basic monitoring information in. In this case, my Hyper-V host 2 has a C drive. And just to show you some of the basic stuff we monitor is, of course, free space, queue length, fragmentation level, all sorts of stuff you get out of the box. So this is the, what you get with the basic management packs. So there's a couple of performance dashboards you get from these management packs. Get an at-a-glance view on what drives have lots of free space or are lacking free space. Disk performance, disk utilization. So that's what you get with the Windows Server one. So what we'll do is I'm running the NetApp simulator on a Linux VM, if you want to try this out yourself, you can actually download the NetApp simulator from the NetApp website. And just to show you that we can monitor this, I'll show you that I'm running NetApp. So if we look on this Linux VM, we have RunSim, which is a NetApp simulator that's running. And if we attach to that process, we can actually get the console for NetApp. It's giving us some information. We'll log in with our password to Data ONTAP, and we can show you the pools, the aggregates, etc. So aggregate status, we have the same aggregates, RAID 0, RAID 4, RAID 4. We'll have a look at the volumes, vol status. So these are the volumes, volume 0, volume 1, volume 2, associated with these aggregates on NetApp. And so these are running, the simulator is running, and there's a web console associated with my NetApp simulator called Filer View. So NetApp simulator, three volumes to the aggregates. And so this is all set up. So this is the these are the volumes I want to monitor. And let's pretend we don't have the VMM integration running. We just want to talk to NetApp directly. Then, of course, we need to set this up, and we want to make sure that SNMP is enabled on the NetApp device, because storage monitoring with NetApp is done through SNMP, talking to the device with SNMP, while others like HP will use intermediate tooling to push information into OM. So what I've done is I went ahead of time and imported the NetApp management pack, which is itself is free. And I've added the NetApp device through network monitoring, so it can talk SNMP. And based on that, it actually started discovering, and we found what NetApp called a controller. So we found the NetApp controller, the device, if you will, and that's running healthy with a certain IP address. And it will auto-discover the other elements, so the aggregates, 0, 1, 2, with the respective sizes, RAID types, the disks count, and then the volumes on top of those. So these are the state views you get from the NetApp management pack. And of course, from this view, you can dive into the diagram view, and you can see a much more visual representation of the controller, the storage aggregates, and the volumes below those. So these are the things you get, and you get some basic good element monitoring for NetApp with their management pack. They also give you some performance views, so like CPU utilization, average processor utilization, I/O operations, also meaningful read-write operations in my lab, in my simulators, not a whole lot going on, but you could certainly, in a production environment, get some more info out of this. Disk data read, network data send, etc. So this is pretty cool. Now, if we go to reporting, the NetApp Management Pack also gives you some reports. So things like availability, storage efficiency, LUN average, latency, storage efficiency reports. In the summary, in the details, you can see what's in the report. And we can just use OM reporting, of course, to get that information. So that's storage monitoring. It's really dependent on the vendor. NetApp has a good one, HP has a good one, but there'll be others that might be not as entertaining. So we've set up network monitoring storage, we get all these views, but now we need to make sense of all this information. It's in view one, view two, I want to have an all-up view. So this is where we're going to use OM dashboarding. Now there's a couple of dashboards to consider. One would be just the out-of-the-box dashboards we have with OM, which you just saw a couple of. There's the option to use Visio and SharePoint. It's the least known option from what I see throughout the world. But you can create Visio drawings with OM data and publish them in SharePoint as live dashboards. And there's a third-party vendor called Savision that brings you an option called Live Maps. Now, the out-of-the-box reports and dashboards will give you, like we saw, network summary, network node, network interface, vicinity, memory utilization, well, it goes on and on and on. We saw those. We saw a couple of these dashboards, vicinity views, spiderweb views, state views, all these kinds of things you get out of the box. These are still very much element-centric. So what you could do is take the Visio that you might have already created about your app and publish that into SharePoint, tie it with OM data. There's actually a couple of blogs on how to do this, how to take this data from OM and publish in SharePoint. The only con would be that it's hard to maintain, because if things change, you need to update Visio, right? So it's going to be a labor-intensive process. So, but it's a good solution. Maybe you want to create 2, 3, 4 all-op dashboards. If you want to have a more maintainable solution, you want to have a look at a third-party vendor called Savision Live Maps. You still create these graphical views, but they can do like automatic rules, updating. You can do like geo views, data center, drill downs. And this is actually the one I want to show you, the Live Maps integration. Now, this is a commercial, a paid-for solution, so this is certainly you'll not have in the box, but you can have a look at. I've created a folder called Private Cloud, and under the Private Cloud, I've created a couple of dashboards with Live Maps, one of them being HP. You see like a summary dashboard. I can double-click and drill down into, for instance, the blades I'm using in my infrastructure with the status we get from the HP management pack, but in a much more rich way. So we see the blades that's configured in my blade chassis. And look at the front. I've also created a graphic for the back. So you can see like the virtual connect, the onboard administrator, the power supplies. These are the pictures I've just used from the HP website to achieve. And so we see information on my environment, the HP blades, and I can drill down into the HP switches I've just added in OM, but now with a much more graphical representation. I can still click from here and go into the regular views, so it's not limiting me in what I can do. I can just still go into the node dashboard we just saw and get a more technical view or more in-depth view of certain counters or certain statuses. But this is helpful. This is something you'd put on a big screen or consider showing on a screen. Now, same for NetApp. If we take the information we just got through the NetApp management pack, I can draw more logical representation of my environment, the LUNs, the volumes, the controller, maybe even a physical location where it's located in the rack, and maybe tie that up with the virtualization information we get from VMM. So I see my four hosts, I see the volumes we're using, and the controller and the disks below, and I get the relevant alerts for these objects in the single view as well. So these are really helpful to get a more overview of your environment. Now what I want to do is show you how to create these maps. They're real easy to use. They have their own authoring tool, if you will. It shows you the same folders you have in OM. You right-click a folder where you want to create a map, in my case under the network folder. We say add a new map, and we get a map wizard. We can select an image or take one from the library. In this case, I've gone ahead of time and created an overview graphic of my virtualization environment. We'll give the map a name, Converged Network, and a couple of seconds it created the map in OM. It puts the graphic I created as a background, and then on the left bottom side you'll see an object picker where we can actually take these objects and drag them onto the graphic. So the graphic shows my network layout. We'll tune the object picker a bit so we get the specific objects called HP interconnects. Interconnect bay even. We'll hit OK. And then on the left-hand side, you'll see the interconnect bays I have that are found through the HP management pack. And we can just pick one, drag it onto the map, and we can tune it a bit, maybe remove the label, remove the graphic, and just get the OM status and display that in a certain part of the map. Take a second bay, add it here. And on and on and on for all the components you need. You'll save it, and it is from there on available in OM to any user. So if we go back to OM, you can show that graphic. And it's a much more nicer way of showing the information you get from OM. Oh, I think I forgot to disable my link. No, that's a joke. Vincent, hi, Maarten, do you have a second? Well, actually, Vincent, I'm quite busy, but in a session here in Auckland. But it's quite urgent. I'm not sure if we can meet the stock trader SLA. We're getting signals that the capacity might be insufficient. Can ops manager show forecasts? Well, actually, we can, yes. I guess it's one of those least known options in OM as well. We can trend and forecast the information to some degree within OM, and it's called capacity management. Now, capacity management can be done on three levels. We can take this one element, a port or a disk, take the information we have and start trending or forecasting. We want to take it one level up, more to the service layer, get all these kinds of information and roll it up as a capacity forecast for the service or the app. And business, business capacity management, that's more for business data, which we're not doing in OM. Now, capacity management means OM has all this historic information in the data warehouse. It's being saved for a year by default, and we see certain views with certain lines and performance. Now, you can take that information and put a linear regression line in. We can take that information and take the same cycles of weeks and start to trend and forecast. And if we then set thresholds, like a warning threshold or a critical threshold, OM can tell you whether or not there's a certain number of days or months left to do before you run out of capacity. So let's go back into the environment. We're in OM again. We're going to create a new dashboard and start forecasting some capacity for our Hyper-V environment. We'll create a new dashboard. Within the dashboard, you have widgets. So what we're doing here is we're creating a grid layout for Hyper-V capacity. We have three cells we want to show in this dashboard. And then per cell, we'll add a widget and show you information in the dashboard. So here's the empty dashboard. We'll click to add a widget. We get all the widget types, so we'll take the capacity widget. And then we can name it. So we'll call it disk capacity for our Hyper-V host. We need to select a group of servers or a single object or whatever we want to trend on. So we'll take, again, the second Hyper-V host I've been using in the demos. And we'll select that one, Hyper-V host ST2. And then it loads all the associated counters. So we say we want to trend on logical disk, free space, total. And we can take any counter OM has, any object. This is just an example. It should turn critical when it's less than 10% free in the next 3 months, and warning if it's less than 20% in the next 3 months, and it's descending towards our threshold. So we select that. From which date you want to calculate the initial forecast? Let's take January 1st. We'll show, I don't know, a month worth of data in the widget. And we'll hit close. And it should actually show us a disk capacity forecast graphic. There we go. It's actually trending upwards, and it's green, so we're not going to run out of capacity likely in the next 90 days. So let's take another metric. Let's take processor and memory and have a look at those. Those are also relevant. Take the capacity widget again. Say memory capacity for our host. And again, you could do a group of hosts or whatever you feel like. Well, we'll take the second host. Should show up in a second. There we go. Select the counter again. Memory. Available M bytes for the host. Now, M bytes, it's measured in, so we say it's critical when we have less than 4,000 megabytes, 4 gigs in 3 months, and warning if it's less than 6 gigs in 3 months, descending towards our threshold again. We need to select the initial date, number of days to show in the widget, and then we should get a neat, nice graphic. There we go. 30 days, next, create. Let's see if our hosts will run out of memory in the next 3 months. Drum roll, please. Yeah, 35 days. And we can actually drill down from here and go look why. Now, the problem here is that it's to some degree not as detailed as it should be, because we're not taking into account variances or like seasonalities, or so it's inaccurate in some degree. On the other hand, it's more than we have than we had, so we can get a bit of an understanding whether or not we're going to run down capacity-wise. And then if I take another dashboard I created, I can show you an all-up, like my 6 hosts, only one of them will run out of capacity on 2 occasions on memory and logical disk in the next 35 days. So it gives you a bit of a way to do some type of capacity management. Again, if you're very savvy on BI or whatever, you could probably step up that game. But this is what you get in the dashboard framework. So to summarize, SystemCenter 2012 Operations Manager R2 delivers quite a bit of fabric monitoring. We saw network monitoring, storage monitoring, a couple of dashboards, and capacity management. The dashboard allows for proactive monitoring. You can take the inbox solution, SharePoint and Visio if you want to. We didn't have time to drill in. And Cervision Live Maps, which is paid for. And then capacity management. To deliver the fifth dimension to Ops Manager, we have availability, performance, configuration, security, and now we have capacity as well. So thank you for attending. Fill out the evals, and if you have any questions, I'll be here for the next couple of minutes. So thank you so much.